إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، قال الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى: ثم من بعد أصحاب الشورى أهل بدر من المهاجرين، ثم أهل بدر من الأنصار من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على قدر الهجرة والسابقة أولا فأولا، ثم أفضل الناس بعد أولاه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم القرن الذي بعث فيهم، كل من صحبه سنة أو شهرا أو يوما أو ساعة أو رآه فهو من أصحابه، له من الصحبة على قدر ما صحبه، وكانت سابقته معه وسمع منه ونظر إليه نظرا فأدناهم صحبة، وأفضل من القرن الذين لم يروا، ولو لقوا الله في جميع الأعمال كان أولى الذين صحبوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورأوه وسمعوا منه وما رآه بعينه وآمن به، ولو ساعة أفضل لصحبة من التابعين ولو عملوا كل أعمال الخير. جزاك الله سبحانه وتعالى وبسيط الصلاة على السلام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، من الله سبحانه وتعالى إنفيذ وإيمان أضمات لبوان أطلاف الاستقامة والثبات عن السنة أبو محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. إن شاء الله we continue our study of the book أصول السنة by الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى. الإمام رحمه الله تعالى continue in his book to give us other foundations and the principles of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. What make Ahl-Sunnah to be Ahl-Sunnah? And what make Ahl-Bid'ahi to be Ahl-Bid'ahi wal-A'raf? As we normally say, it is not the growing of beard or allowing or not allowing the trousers to pass below the ankles are the foundations of Sunnah. These are some obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended upon every Muslim, but they are not the foundations of Ahl-Sunnah. They are not the signs to know who are the Ahl-Sunnah, who are not Ahl-Sunnah. In this book of Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbali rahimahullah ta'ala, we can see what Sunnah is and what Sunnah is not. Who are the Ahl-Sunnah and who are not Ahl-Sunnah. Based on this, after the establishment of the greatest virtue and the best studentship of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being the first set of Muslims before those who came after them. This is the Ahlus Sunnah. This is the methodology of Ahlus Sunnah. This is the manhaj of every conscious Muslim. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the forefront. There is no one that we can be placed above them. They are the first runners. They are the first believers. They are the first Muslims. They are our teachers that we learn from them. They are our leaders that we obey them. We tap the knowledge from them, and we know what to do and what not to do from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we said, that even among the companions, there are levels among them. They are in different categories. All the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are not on one level. They are on different levels of virtues, different levels of suhbah, of companionship to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first set of them, they are the Khulafa'u Rashidun, those who took to the realm of the authority and the leadership after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Bakr is the first, followed by Umar, followed by Uthman, and ended with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then after them, we have the Ashab al-Shura. We have the Ashab al-Shura. The Ashab al-Shura, they are five, as we discussed in our previous lesson. They constituted Ali ibn Abi Talib, Talha, was Zubayr, Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, they were sad. All of them, they are the best after Abu Bakr, Umar, and Uthman. Then follow them, we have Ashabu Ahl al-Badri, the Ahl al-Badri, those who joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight against the infidels, the enemies of Allah, who came to fight them in Medina. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with the companions, they left Makkah for Medina, running for their safety, running for the protection of the deen. And this journey is known to be Al-Hijra, the greatest migration from Makkah to Medina. Upon that, the enemies of Allah, the infidels, the unbelievers, the idol worshippers, they gathered together to kill them. They ran after them to Medina to kill them. And that is what led to the battle of Badr. It is the battle of rejection. It is the battle of retaliation. You have been killing us. You have been quiet with you. Now, you know, put our hands, allowing you to kill us anymore. This was called the battle of Badr. And the war came up in a place known to be the Badr. So, some of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they joined him in this great battle. They fought tirelessly and they won. So those who participated in the battle of the Badr, they are the best in the cathedrals of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the Ashab al-Shuhara. After the Ashab al-Shuhara. The Thumma Hal Badri ibn al-Ansar. The Hal Badri also, we have the Meccan Sahaba among them. As we have the Medina Sahaba among them. All of them came together to join the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the great battle. Then Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala said, "Thumma afdalu an-nas ba'da Allah, ashabu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-qurun alladhi bu'itha fihim." He said, after this category, in general, the best generation, we talk of al-qurun, qurun means 100 years. So the best 100 years of Islam, of the Muslims in the first 100 years. That is the period, the generation of the Prophet, the generation of the companions, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions lived together. Al-Qarun alladhi bu'itha fihim, it is the period when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised the Prophet. It is the best. That is the best. That is the period of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba. So because of this, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah has become a greatest epitome to them, that whoever that blames, condemns, abuses, or causes, or denigrates any one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will never be happy with the person. And this is what we can see in the religion of the Iranian government, that they take abusing, condemning, cursing the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so then it is one of the foundations of their religion. And that is the reason the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah greeted them to be non-Muslims. They are not Muslims because we cannot be cursing, really cursing every second on Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, on Umar ibn al-Khattab, on Uthman ibn Affan, on the best women, on the surface of the earth, the wife of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aisha ibn Salama, and the rest of them, cursing the generosity of the companions of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the name of giving the worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, how do we describe the Islam of such people? Is that Islam brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is that what Quran, Al-Quran Al-Kareem, forced the Muslims to do? Is that the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the Iranian government, you may see them, they are how to look. They look like Muslims. They are not Muslims. Yes, they are not Muslims. Because you cannot be a Muslim if you don't give the value, the virtues, and the supreme message to those who they are due to. These are the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what Quran calls our attention to. In many verses of the Quran, for instance, Quran chapter 9, verse 100, Surah Al-Tawbah. So, that is the reason why the ongoing war between Israel, American, and Iran, the Muslims, the righteous Muslims are left concerned. The oppressors are fighting against the oppressors. They should kill themselves, destroy themselves, and enslave their societies. We are less concerned. It's none of our business. All of them, the trial, are oppressors. The Israel are killing the Muslims and the Palestinians. with the assistance of America, while the Iranians are killing the Muslims in Iraq, in Yemen, also in Syria. This is known to every one of us. So who do we now say that the victory should be for? None of them should be victorious. All of them should kill themselves. Yes, we are less concerned about that. We don't pray for the victory of either of the two parties. The two parties should destroy themselves because they killed so many Muslims. So what we are saying in essence is that the first generation of all the generations is the generation of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kullu man sahibahu, whoever that moved close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahiba, as-sahiba, the judge of the scholars of Sunnah, they will say that as-sahabi, the companion, is defined as someone that had the opportunity to meet the Prophet, to meet him, to meet. We see how some of the scholars that will say that whoever that had the opportunity to see him, but the condition seeing the Prophet is not that relevant, because we have some companions who are born blind. They are born blind. They could not see. And they were greatest companions of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were among them. So, to condition seeing the Prophet will not be good with the definition of the companion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, a companion is someone that met the Prophet, that met him, sat with him, or stood with him, even if it's just for a month, or a week, or a day, or an hour, or even just a minute. So far the person accepted what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepted the nation, the religion of Allah from him, from the Prophet. And he died on that religion, on Islam. كل من لقيه وعامن به ومات على الإيمان. Whoever that met the Prophet, accepted the religion from him, and died on the faith of Islam. So such a person is sahabi, is a companion. له من الصحبة على قدر ما صحبة. الإمام أحمد بن حنبل رحمه الله تعالى said, such a person, the صحبة, the companionship, should be established for him. Though it now varies the level of that companionship, because we cannot compare someone who had been with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first 13 years in Mecca, someone who just met him in Medina. You cannot compare. You cannot compare someone who stayed with him for a month or someone just who had the opportunity for a day. So the sohba, the companionship, has levels. And the best companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr Siddiq, who was the first person to accept Islam from him. And he stayed with him throughout of his stay in Mecca for 13 years. He was also staying with him, was with him when he was in Medina for 10 years and 3 months. So all the 23 years and 3 months that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spread the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Bakr was with him in every second, in every minute, in every day. So now there is not anyone among the companions that had the same opportunity, the same favor. None of the companions had it. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during his time, he used to put Abu Bakr in the forefront, in public, in religious occasions, yes, in the best of the companions. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not around, the companions, all the Sahaba, they knew that they had no one to put forward, if not Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. There are many reports on that. Even when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was around, that he was sick, that he could not lead the Salat in the mosque, he had to appoint Abu Bakr to lead him. So with all these and some other references, it become a consensus among the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah, even among the Sahaba, that the best Sahabi is Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is Abu Bakr that the Iranian government, Iranian Shiite, that the rain causes upon him every second, saying Abu Bakr will enter hellfire, saying Abu Bakr was a harlot, saying Abu Bakr was a bad person, and he had a bad daughter, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So as Muslims, we should respect that level of the companionship of the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we need to pray for them. We should establish their runnings in Islam, their runnings, their efforts in Islam. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala established that the best generation is the generation of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَانَتِ سَابِقَتُهُ مَعَهُ وَسَمِّيَا مِنْهُ وَنَظَرْ إِلَيْهِ نَظْرًا. Because the companions, they had that opportunity to be in the first line of the Muslims. They had the Prophet directly. They had a Quran from him. They had a Sunan from him. They learned under his tutelage. وَنَظَرْ إِلَيْهِ نَظْرًا. They looked at him. They stayed with him, they sat with him, they walked with him, they engaged in battles with him. Name it. They knew everything about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَعَدِنَاهُمُ الصُّحْبَةُ وَعَفْتَلِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ الَّذِي أَلْقَرْنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يَرَوْا. He said, Al-Imam Abu Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala said, the least among the companions, the least, you see the least. As we say, the companions are in different categories. We have the highest, followed, then the one. We have the lowest. Those who are in the lowest of the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every one of them in the lowest level is better than the whole generations of the Muslims that came after them. That is the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is the smallest among the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is better than those who came after them, till the end of the world. وَلَوَلَا قُلَّهَ بِجَمِيلِ أَعْمَالِ. Even if all of us should do exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to do, yes, if we fulfill our obligations, our dutifulness to Allah. If we do everything that Allah asks us to do in the Quran and the Sunnah, we still cannot be compared with the lowest level among the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get it? That means no matter how we observe the five daily prayers, no matter how we engage in fasting in the month of Ramadan, no matter how we are being righteous to people or to Allah we are being righteous and dutiful to our parents. Namely, if we do everything that Quran has recommended for us to do, we cannot still be compared, yes, with the lowest level among the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. كان أولى الذين صحبوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ورآه وسمعوا منه, because those companions of the Prophet, the Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that they saw him, they listened to him, they met him, ومن رآه بعينه وآمن به ولو ساعة, even if it is just ساعة, a piece of time, yes, part of time, that the companions met with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are better than who? They are better than the bin al-tabi'in. They are better than those who came after them. Among the tabi'un. وَلَوْ عَمِلُوا كُلَّ أَعْمَالِ الْخَيْرِ. Even if the tabi'un submitted themselves, they carried out all the religious activities, they can still not be compared with the companions. What that Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala is saying here is that, you see, we have the category of the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then we have the Tabi'un. Tabi'un, they are those that they got the knowledge from the Sahaba. The Sahaba got the knowledge, the deen from the Prophet. The Sahaba, yes. There are those that live with the Prophet. Then the Tabi'un that came after the Sahaba. Then we have Tabi'u Tabi'in after the Tabi'un. Then we have Tabi'in to our own time, to those who are coming after us, to the end of the world. So, that is knowledge. This is how we place them. So all of us, ranging from those who came from the time of the Tabi'un to the end of the world, we cannot be compared with just one person among the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Quran, As-sabiquna al-awwalun min al-muhajirin wal-ansar. As-sabiquna al-awwalun, the first runner among the Sahaba who came from Mecca, the Sahaba who accepted them in Medina, is those who came from Mecca to Medina, and those who accepted those who came from Mecca in Medina. These are the two places of the Sahaba. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, and those who also followed them in goodness, in righteousness, in footpath. They follow their footpath. So that means we cannot be Muslims except we follow the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot be dutiful to the injunctions of the Quran except we follow the teachings of the companions. We cannot be original Muslims, the true Muslims. Yes, you cannot be true Muslims except we follow the knowledge and the course of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, this is a lesson. And that is why, you know, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, if they abuse their fathers, they won't like it. Yes, in honoring their fathers. But they may quickly pardon you. But if you abuse any one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means it's just like someone that tapped the end tail of the cobra. We will never take it easy with you. Yes. Why? Because whoever that abuses your father, we cannot say that a person is trying to destroy Islam. No. Though it is lack of manner, yes, it is lack of manner for him. or from him. He lacks manner. It's a sign of foolishness. The person is a fool, abusing someone's father. But that does not affect Islam in any way. It does not affect, it does not belittle the significance of the Quran. Yes. But whoever that abuses the Sahaba, you should know that the person is after the deen, the religion. Whoever that is condemning Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his aim is to destroy that Islam from inside. If the person calls himself a Muslim, that is him. Because when you abuse the Sahaba, then that means the knowledge from the Sahaba is nonsense, and that knowledge is the Quran. It's knowledge is of Sunnah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not live to see him, or he did not live to see us. We did not meet him to give us the Quran. He did not give us the Quran directly. He gave it to the Sahaba, to the companions. They were the ones that kept the Quran, they preserved the Quran, that we had the opportunity to receive the Quran. So if anyone is now condemning the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should know that the person is after the deen, the religion of Allah. That is it. So, it's a lesson for us. That's the position of Al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, that we must not place anyone among the Sahaba, as we cannot place anyone above those who came after the Sahaba. The Tabi'un, they are the best, they are the next set of the Muslims after the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one of the hadith reported by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونَ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. He said, the best generations of all generations, the best generation, the best period, it is his own generation. The generation that the Sahaba lived with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who came after them. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ, then those who came after those who came after them. In fact, this established the position of the Sahaba, of the Tabi'un. So these three generations, they are the best generations that the universe has ever produced. They are the best generations. So if you want to take your religion, you take your religion from the first three generations. Many people will condemn Islam today. Why? Because of the practices of some Muslims. Then it's wrong also. You too, what you did is wrong. If you want to evaluate Islam, or you want to assess Islam, it is not with the practices of the Muslim. Especially in this modern world, Islam has treasures, literatures, it has books. Why can't you study the Islam of the early Muslims? The Sahaba, the Tabi'un, the Tabi'in. These are the best generations. These are the best period of the Muslims. But to study Islam according to what you see Muslims of nowadays doing, then that means you yourself, you lack the etiquette of study. Yes, you lack the etiquette of study. Because Muslims are human beings. There are some who are upright, there are some who only maintain that, okay, let me observe my daily prayer, that is all. I don't have anything to do with Islam in outside the mosque. So which one do you want to use as your own scope of study? So if you are studying Islam, you study Islam from from insight, from the Quran, from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the time of the companions, the Sahaba, from the time of those who came after the Sahaba. Not this time that we see that every Muslim is trying to use Islam as a means of what? As a means of amassing money, wealth, the source of income, when everything is being politicized, when politics is being diffused into Islam. So which Islam do you want to study today? If the Muslims will be your own source of study, then that means you do not get the accurate answer. So what we want everyone of us to know is that the foundation of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah establishes that the best generations, the best of all generations, are the generation of the prophets, with Sahaba, then those who came after them, and those who came after them. These are the three best generations on the surface of the earth. And it is in these three generations that you can get your religion, your Islam, generation of references, anything you want to do that will not have anything to do with those generations, you should know it is not part of Islam. In your religion, in your Islam, if whatever you want to do does not have reference from the Sahaba, does not have the reference from the Tabi'un, from the Tabi'i Tabi'in, you should know that that Islam is your whole Islam. It is not the Islam of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our iman and preserve our lives, inshallah. We continue next week. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallama. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.